इदं भगवता पूर्वम् ब्रह्मणेनापि पंकजे स्थिताय भवभीताय प्रकाशितम्
इदं
This
Bhagavata by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purvam, first, Brahmane, to Brahma, Nabhi Pankaje, upon the lotus growing from the navel, Sthitaya, who was situated, Bhava, of material existence, Bhitaya, who was fearful, Karunyat, out of mercy, Samprakashitam, was fully revealed. Translation. It was to Lord Brahma that the Supreme Personality of Godhead first revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam in full. At the time, Brahma, frightened by material existence, was sitting on the lotus flower that had grown from the Lord's navel. Purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna enlightened Brahma with the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam before the creation of this universe, as indicated here by the word Purvam. Also, the first verse of the Bhagavatam states, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Lord Krishna expanded perfect knowledge into the heart of Lord Brahma. Because conditioned souls can experience only temporary objects, which are created, maintained and destroyed, they cannot readily understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is an eternal, transcendental literature, non-different from the absolute truth. As stated in the Mundaka Upanishad 1.1.1, Brahma Devanam Prathama Sambhadhuva Vishwasya Karta Bhuvanasya Gupta Sa Brahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishtham Atharvaya Jyeshtha Putraya Praha. Among all demigods, Brahma was the first to take birth. He is the creator of this universe and also its protector. To his eldest son, Atharva, he instructed the spiritual science of the self, which is the basis of all other branches of knowledge. Despite his exalted position, however, Brahma still fears the influence of the Lord's illusory potency. Thus, this energy seems virtually insurmountable. But Lord Chaitanya is so kind that during his missionary activities in eastern and southern India, he freely distributed Krishna consciousness to everyone, urging them to become teachers of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, encouraged the people by saying, By my order, just become a teacher of Lord Krishna's message and save this country. I assure you that the waves of Maya will never stop your progress. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 7.128. If we give up all sinful activities and engage constantly in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, victory is assured in our personal lives and also in our missionary efforts.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Sva Pradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So we are seeing in this chapter, this is the concluding chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is the last canto is going on, canto 12. So we have almost come to the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, and actually our hearts become a bit heavy that the narrations of Bhagavatam, all these nectarian pastimes which have been going on since the first canto, are now coming to an end as the 12th canto is concluding, and that we are in the final chapter of the Bhagavatam. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he has created this morning program that we do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So we are going to constantly keep on studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and we will again start with the first canto in a few days. This is unlike the professional Bhagavatars. In India especially, we see so many Bhagavat Saptas and Bhagavat Kathas going on, wherein they just speak a little bit from here and there, especially on the 10th canto. And then the Bhagavatam gets over and people go home and they all say, oh, it was a nice class, but not much change of heart takes place. But by Prabhupada's mercy, because we have this morning program and we are doing Nityam Bhagavata, so all the everything Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, everything that is inauspicious in the heart gets cleansed up and our hearts become purified to become more and more receptive for the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam are being told by Sukadeva Goswami. The whole chapter, it's titled also The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and since the first verse now Sukadeva Goswami is continuously giving the glories of Bhagavatam, what are the benefits of giving Bhagavatam as a gift, what are the benefits of chanting Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, how the Srimad Bhagavatam was evolved. So he's continuously telling us the various facets of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So towards the end, Sukadeva Goswami is doing this when the Bhagavatam is coming to an end, but he also did this when the Srimad Bhagavatam actually started. In the first canto, in the first chapter itself, we see the initial verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we see there also Srimad Bhagavatam is being glorified as the Amala Purana or the spotless Purana. In fact, in the first canto in chapter 1, text 2 itself, it says that Dharma Projita Kaitava. So completely, this Srimad Bhagavatam is a transcendental literature, and it completely rejects all religious activities which are materially motivated. And this Bhagavat Puran propounds the highest truth. And this truth uproots the threefold miseries, it says, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam constantly. And this Bhagavatam was compiled by sage Vyasadeva in his maturity of self-realization. So we know the pastime which comes later in the first canto, that Vyasadeva was really despondent. He had written all the Vedas, he had divided all the Vedas for benefits of different sections of society. But still he was not satisfied. And then his guru Narad Muni reveals to him that why he is not feeling satisfaction in his heart, even though he has written so many literatures. And he points out the defect that you have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead as yet. And that is why you are feeling so despondent, even though you have written volumes and volumes of literature. And then based on the instructions of Narad Muni, Vyasadeva meditates and then he writes the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam was written in Vyasadeva's maturity, when he was towards the pinnacle of his self-realization or the pinnacle of his journey of self-realization. And then as we go ahead, even the third verse glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam. So it says, O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. So we see that in the initial verses itself, Srimad Bhagavatam is being glorified as being appealing not only to people who are entrapped in the threefold miseries of this material world, but even it is appealing to the liberated souls or to people who are completely transcendental to the threefold miseries or to the modes of material nature. In fact, this verse was one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favorite verse, which comes later on in the Bhagavatam. It says, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgranthi Api Urukrame Purvanti Ahai Tukim Bhaktim Ittham Guna Bhuto Hari. So it says that Atma Ramascha Munayo, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is appealing even to the liberated souls, Atmaram, who are completely self-satisfied, who don't have anything to do with this material world and who are above the three modes of material nature. So even to them, the Srimad Bhagavatam is so relishable. And we see in the previous verse, in fact in yesterday's verse, it was mentioned that how there are 18 Puranas and how many verses are there in each Purana. And all these Puranas were written by Vyasadeva. And altogether there are 400,000 verses in all the Puranas, out of which Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. And we are towards the end of all those 18,000 verses. So it's Sukadeva Goswami in the last line, even Prabhupada says in the previous purport, that he says all the various Puranas have so many so verses, Kanda Purana has 81,000, this Purana has these many verses. But again at the end he says, and this spotless Srimad Bhagavatam Purana has 18,000 verses. So Prabhupada says that just as previously in the first canto, after describing all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sukadeva Goswami again reiterates the point, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So although there are millions of incarnations and they keep coming like waves in ocean, but Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, in this verse, in the previous verse also we see, that although he is saying that there are so many Puranas and so many verses in each Purana, but again he reiterates the point at the end that this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the transcendental literature, the spotless literature, appealing even to the Atmarams, to the self-realized souls, this Purana has 18,000 verses. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, in this verse, we see that it is revealed that the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken first, when the creation, the secondary creation was happening by Garbhodakshai Vishnu to Lord Brahma, when he was sitting on the lotus flower. And not only the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Krishna to Lord Brahma, it is an eternal literature. It's not that it came into being at that time and from that time onwards Srimad Bhagavatam is existing. But Srimad Bhagavatam is an eternal literature. It is not bound by the time of the material world. And we see Srimad Bhagavatam actually has been spoken by various personalities to various personalities. Throughout the pages we see this, we hear about this. So we see that Krishna spoke it to Lord Brahma, and we also see that Sukadeva Goswami spoke it to Parikshit Maharaj when Parikshit Maharaj was on his on the verge of death. He was about to leave his body in 7 days. And then on another level it was spoken by Maitreya Muni to Vidura. When Vidura inquired, he wanted to get self-realized. Vidura was on a pilgrimage after Duryodhana insults him and drives him away from the kingdom. And during that pilgrimage, Vidura meets Maitreya Muni, and Maitreya Muni also tells the Srimad Bhagavatam to Vidura. And it was also spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. Some sections of Srimad Bhagavatam were instructed by Krishna to Uddhava. When Uddhava comes to know that Krishna is going to leave the planet and he is grief-stricken and he goes and sits under the peepal tree, under the tree where Lord Krishna was going to leave the planet. And again Krishna instructs Uddhava, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Also Sanat Kumar, he travels all the way from the topmost planets through the Ganga and he goes down at the bottom of the universe. And he hears the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sankarsana or Anantasesh. And Anantasesh with his millions of hoods glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this verse we see that it's being spoken to Lord Brahma during creation, when creation happens. And actually when Krishna speaks the Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma, he says it in only 4 verses. It's called the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. And then it is Vyasadeva who elaborates these 4 verses into 18,000 verses. And that is how we have the present form of Srimad Bhagavatam in front of us. So as mentioned in this purport, Prabhupada says, and even in the translation, that when Lord Brahma was born, and this whole pastime is there in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Lord Brahma was born on the lotus flower of from Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he was extremely frightened of material existence. He looks all around and he just sees darkness. He cannot find his source. He sees there's a lotus stem going under him and he travels all the way down. But he just sees the waters of the Garbhodaka ocean. But he does not find the source. So Prabhupada says at that time that Krishna will never reveal himself by mechanical means. Krishna can be known only by bhakti. So Brahma first tries mechanical means to find out Krishna when he becomes fearful of material existence. But being unsuccessful, he returns back to the top of the lotus stem. And then he sits down in meditation. And when he sits down and concentrates his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waves of the Garbhodaka ocean are lapping against the base of the lotus stem, and he hears the sound tapa, tapa, from being said by the waves of the ocean. And he understands that he has to do tapasya, or he has to do austerities. And only when he does severe austerities does he realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is revealed to him in the heart by Krishna. So when even Lord Brahma, he becomes frightened by material existence, then what to speak of insignificant jivas like us? How frightened we should be of the modes of material nature. And Prabhupada used to often say this, that the only complaint I have of my disciples is that they are not enough fearful of Maya. Even yesterday in our Bhakti Vaibhav class, we are discussing the fifth canto and we are discussing the chapter on prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvip. And in that chapter also, the residents of Jambudvip are telling, they are praying to actually the Hayagriva incarnation of Lord Krishna. And they are telling him that this material existence or the three modes of material nature are so difficult to overcome and they have so much potency, they are so illusory that they can bind anyone, they can trap anyone, any conditioned soul, and they can even trap liberated souls. So that is what even the residents of Jambudvip are offering prayers as. So Prabhupada, once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, what do you pray when you are praying to the deities? And Prabhupada said that I often pray that, O Krishna, please let me not fall trapped into Maya, or let me not fall down into this material existence or into the modes of material nature. So Krishna himself actually claims this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Daivi Yesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya, that this divine energy of mine, or this Maya, it's Daivi because it is my energy. But it is mama maya duratyaya. It is very, very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to the Lord, only then it is easy to overcome this material existence or the modes of material nature. And we see in the purport also, the disciples of Prabhupada say that Krishna, he comes as Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga. And he has made the process so easy for all of us to overcome this material existence or to overcome these modes of material nature. And he has given the easiest process of Nama Sankirtanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to travel during his presence on this earth. He used to travel throughout India, and especially when he went to South India, he really propagated this Nama Sankirtanam, or chanting of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. He spent a lot of time traveling in South India and freely distributing the holy names of Krishna to all the conditioned souls in South India. And today we thought we will discuss one personality from South India whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met during his visit to South India and whose disappearance day it is today. That was Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was one of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his visits to South India when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was propounding the Nama Sankirtanam, or chanting of the holy names of Krishna in South India. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his South India tour, he reached the temple of Sri Rangam or Rangakshetra. Now it is said that Sri Rangam temple is actually Bhuloka Vaikuntham, that it is Vaikuntha on earth. The way the Lord is worshipped there by the Sri Sampradaya people, it's absolutely amazing. Last year we had the opportunity to go on a yatra with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to South India, and we visited Sri Rangam. And it's absolutely amazing the way the love and devotion the Vaishnavas over there have for Ranganath Swami, and the way opulently Lord Ranganath is worshipped there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting this temple, and when he entered the temple, he was doing congregational chanting of the holy names. And whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself used to do chanting of the holy names, thousands of people used to get attracted. They all used to go behind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they all entered the temple. So there was loud reverberation of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the temple. And all the pujaris or the brahmanas, the brahmins who were performing various yajnas and were chanting various Vedic hymns and mantras, they were all astounded when they saw the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They thought that who is this person who has come over here? How much he is imbued with the love of Godhead? Look at the way he is ecstatically chanting the holy names of the Lord. Is he some demigod? They were discussing among themselves. Or where has he come from? And they all joined in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Nama Sankirtanam. And there was one priest called Venkata Bhatta who observed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing this, and he immediately realized that this is not an ordinary person. He is a Mahapurusha. So he immediately joined the party. He also joined the party and started chanting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the end of the kirtan, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses, he paid obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced Venkata Bhatta, saying, "Krishna, Krishna." He was so happy to see Venkata Bhatta. And then Venkata Bhatta paid obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "Can you please come to my house for lunch prasadam?" So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to reciprocate with the love of his devotee, he accepted that invitation. So as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Venkata Bhatta's house, as is the Vedic tradition of receiving a guest that to a personality like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkata Bhatta immediately arranged for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet to be washed. And then he distributed this water to all his family members. So in his family he had three brothers. Like, one was Venkata Bhatta, one was Prabodhananda, who later on became known as Prabodhananda Saraswati, and the third was Trimala Bhatta. And Venkata Bhatta had a son, little son called Gopal. And Gopal was only 7 years old at that time. So as soon as the water which had washed the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sprinkled on Gopal and he drank some of that water, immediately all ecstatic symptoms became manifest in the body of Gopal. And he immediately started tears flowing from his eyes, his hair stood on end, so all these ecstatic symptoms became manifest in Gopal's body. And from that time onwards, he became so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he started doing all menial services to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Venkata Bhatta requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that since Chaturmas is almost here, I beg of you to please remain in my house for the next 4 months. Because during that time, sannyasis would not travel during Chaturmas. They would just stay in one place and perform austerities or do their meditation. So he requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to reciprocate with the feelings of Venkata Bhatta and also Gopal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that invitation. And he spent 4 months in the house of Venkata Bhatta, discussing Krishna Katha, doing Nama Sankirtanam, taking them on congregational chanting of the holy names. And during all these 4 months, Gopal was so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he served him. He started doing all sorts of menial services for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used to reciprocate with Gopal. Whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take prasadam, he would invite Gopal to sit on his lap and personally he would feed Gopal the remnants of his Mahaprasadam. So in this way he was preparing actually Gopal to become a future Acharya, to become Gopal Bhatta Goswami in his later on years. So as soon as the Chaturmas was going on, and Gopal was so engrossed in serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and during his conversations with his uncles and his father, he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually a grahastha before he became a sannyasi. And then he started lamenting, although he did not reveal his heart to anybody, but internally he used to keep lamenting that, "Oh, how did I miss the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was Navadvip Chandra or Mayapur Chandra, when he had long black flowing hair which used to go on his shoulder and he was dancing around in the streets of Navadvip. Oh God, what has Providence done to me that I missed all these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And he was cursing Providence that, it is because of you only that I could not see. You made me born so far away from Mayapur that I could not participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Mayapur Chandra." And later on he reconciled in his heart and he said, No, it is not the fault of Providence. It must be some of my bad karmas that I couldn't take birth in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace and I couldn't participate." So like this, continuously his heart was yearning to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his form as Mayapur Chandra. So one day when he was taking rest, he had a dream. And in that dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his form as Mayapur Chandra to little Gopal. He saw that he was walking along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the streets of Mayapur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had long black curling hair. And he was not dressed as a sannyasi, but he was dressed as a grahastha. And as Gopal was walking along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sees that Advaita Acharya and Nityanand Prabhu are also coming. And they are about to tell something important to little Gopal. but his sleep breaks, the dream breaks, and he wakes up. And he gets so agitated that, oh, they were about to tell me something and I missed hearing what they were about to tell. So in his haste, he rushes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he falls down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he looks up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him the darshan of Shyam Sundar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transforms himself in the threefold bending form of Krishna. And as soon as little Gopal takes that darshan, in front of his eyes, again that form gets transformed into Mayapur Chandra form. The form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was so dear to Gopal's heart. The Grahastha form with nice long hair and not a shaven head. And then again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transforms into his sannyasi form with his sannyas clothes and his shaven head. And then little Gopal again pays obeisances and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him. The instructions which Advaita Acharya and Nityanand Prabhu were about to give, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues those instructions. And he says that you serve your parents nicely because your parents are such nice devotees of the Lord and they have served me so nicely. So you serve your parents till they leave this planet. And after they leave this planet, you go to Vrindavan and you associate with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. These are the instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives little Gopal. And then as soon as Chaturmas is about to get over, the whole family is plunged into an ocean of grief. Venkata Bhatt, his brother Prabodhananda, Tirumala Bhatt, and even Gopal, they start sobbing uncontrollably when they realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to leave their association. So just to satisfy little Gopal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays for some more time and he gives some more association to Gopal and then he leaves from South India or from Rangakshetra. So after that, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, always in memory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always in smaranam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he starts his formal education under his uncle Prabodhananda Saraswati. And very soon, Gopal becomes the greatest scholar of South India. He studies all the shastras, all the scriptures very nicely under his uncle. And whenever anybody used to visit his father, they used to praise Gopal so much to his father. They used to say that, what a son you have got. Krishna has sent you such a nice devotee son. Everybody used to pray Gopal's devotional qualities and his scholarship. So after a few years, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's parents were ready to leave the world. And they call him to their deathbed when they are about to leave the world. And they also give the instructions to Gopal that now we are about to leave the world. So as soon as we leave the world, you please go and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is your life's only mission. You go to Vrindavan and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and try to spread his mission. And saying these words and in smaranam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his parents leave the world. So then Gopal Bhatta Goswami immediately leaves for Vrindavan. And I think he was around 30 years of age at that time. So he goes to Vrindavan and he meets up with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami over there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already informed Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami that like this Gopal Bhatta Goswami is going to come and you all please include him and please treat him like your brother. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were so ecstatic when they see Gopal. So they immediately embrace him and they treat him like their own brother. There was so much love among them. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami very nicely starts serving Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Meanwhile, during all this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, he used to live in Gambira. And every day he would visit Sota Gopinath temple, where Gadadhar Pandit used to live, just to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. For Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was so relishable to hear the pastimes of various personalities and Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Gadadhar Pandit's mouth. So one day when he was sitting there, along with his associates like Swaroop Damodar and everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering. He said that since many days I have not received any news from Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. Because in his heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Gopal Bhatta Goswami's parents have left. And he wanted to know whether Gopal Bhatta Goswami has joined in Vrindavan or no. So as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering this, a messenger arrived from Vrindavan with a letter from Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And in that letter, they informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this very nice devotee from South India, a very nice Brahmana, has joined us in Vrindavan. And his name is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he's a very nice devotee and they tell about the loving relationship they share with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to hear about all these things and about the activities of Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Vrindavan. So he immediately sends some gifts for Gopal Bhatta Goswami with that messenger. He sends his own wooden plank on which he used to sit and worship his deities, and also his coffins and his outer garments and all these things. And I have heard that these articles are still being worshipped in the Radharaman temple which Gopal Bhatta Goswami establishes. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was so happy to receive these gifts, and he used to worship them throughout his life as being non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he used to keep them on his altar and he used to worship them. So, and in this way Gopal Bhatta Goswami was passing his time nicely in Vrindavan. He was very attached to Radha Govindji, which was the deity of I think Rupa Goswami. But one day the deity reveals to Rupa Goswami that Gopal Bhatta Goswami should have his own deities to worship. And also parallelly, Gopal Bhatta Goswami gets a dream in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him that you should worship my form in the Shaligram Shila, in Shaligram form. And for this, please go to Nepal, to Gandaki River, and get some Shaligrams and come. Mm-hmm. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami understands when he hears from Rupa Goswami, as well as he gets this dream, he understands that this is the Lord's desire that I start doing Shaligram worship. So he makes the arduous journey all the way from Vrindavan to Nepal, and he goes to River Gandaki. And over there, when he's taking his bath, as he puts his kamandalu into the water, 12 Shaligram Shilas enter his kamandalu. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami was so humble, so he immediately gets this feeling, but how am I qualified to worship these Shaligram Shilas? I'm such a fallen person. So thinking in this way, in his humble mood, he puts the Shaligram Shilas back into the Gandaki River. Mm-hmm. And then he continues his bath. But as soon as he puts the Shaligram Shilas back, all the 12 Shilas jump back into his kamandal. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, again he is so humble, he again puts them back into the river. And they again jump back. So he does this for 4 times. And then he realizes that no, it is the Lord's mercy, or it is the Lord's desire that I worship these Shaligram Shilas. So then he takes all those 12 Shaligram Shilas back to Vrindavan. And he always used to keep them in a cloth bag which was tied around his neck. So wherever he used to travel, the Shaligram Shilas used to travel with him. And he would do such nice worship. He with his own hands, he used to collect all the material required for their worship. And he used to worship them very nicely. So one day in Vrindavan, there was a very rich gentleman, a sheth. Like in olden days, they were called a sheth. A very rich gentleman visits Vrindavan. And he was very, very pious. So he distributes lots of jewelry and ornaments and very nice expensive clothing for the various deities in Vrindavan. So he gives them to all the different saints who are worshipping these deities. And he also gives like this lots of jewelry and clothes to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking, he receives the jewelry, but he was thinking in his mind that how am I going to use all this jewelry and ornaments? They are all so beautiful that I would like to use them in your service. He tells the Lord. But they are only Shaligrams. They don't have hands or feet or anything. So how will I worship and how will I use these paraphernalia which this pious gentleman has given? So it was on Narsimha Chaturdashi that Gopal Bhatta Goswami prays to the deities. He says that just as to satisfy your devotee child Prahlad, you came out from a pillar and you took this half-man, half-lion form to satisfy your devotee. Similarly, you are capable of anything. So if you can come out from a pillar, you can even transform from a Shaligram. So saying this, he was praying like this, that hoping that he would also get a deity instead of a Shaligram. And then he puts his Shaligrams to rest and he also takes rest at night. And in the morning, when he goes to his altar, he sees that one of his Shaligram Shilas, which was the Damodar Shila, had transformed itself into a very nice threefold bending form of Krishna. And it was so beautiful, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami was so overtaken by the love of Krishna that he falls down unconscious. He thinks that, see how Krishna reciprocated with my desire. I just desired and the Lord has immediately taken this form for me. So Radharaman deity is actually a self-manifest deity from one of the Shilas of Shaligram Shilas of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And as soon as the news spread that a deity has manifested itself from the Shila of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan start coming to visit the deities. And they all decide that the deity's name should be Radharaman. So this Radharaman deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami is actually a combination of all the three principal deities of Vrindavan. So there are three principal deities in Vrindavan. The first one is Radha Madan Mohan, which symbolizes Sambandha Gyan of Krishna, or our relationship with Krishna. The second deity is Radha Govindi, which symbolizes the Abhideya or the process of achieving Krishna. And the third principal deity of Vrindavan is Radha Gopinath, which symbolizes Prayojana or the goal of Krishna consciousness. So these are the three principal deities of Vrindavan, and it is said that Radha Raman is the combination or the culmination of all three these three deities. Like different parts of Radha Raman deity represent these different or symbolize these different deities of Vrindavan. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami starts worshipping his Radha Raman deity very nicely. In fact, it is mentioned that Radha Raman deities have the highest standard of deity worship in all of Vrindavan. And that is the only deity, original deity of Goswami, which did not leave Vrindavan when the Mughal kings attacked Vrindavan. All the bigger deities had to be transported to Jaipur to protect them and keep them safe from the Mughal kings. But because Radha Raman was such a small deity, he is hardly 12 inches tall. So they could hide Radha Raman easily, and he is the original deity which has never left Vrindavan and which is still being worshipped in the Radha Raman temple in its original form. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami used to worship Radha Raman very nicely. With his own hands he used to make beautiful garlands, and he used to render all sorts of devotional service to Radha Raman. And his whole purpose of life became the service to Radha Raman. So like this he was continuing his service, but one day he started thinking that the whole purpose of my life was to actually serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is what my parents also instructed me, that you go to Vrindavan and you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So how is it that I'm not serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I've become so engrossed in serving Radha Raman? So thinking like this, Gopal Bhatta Goswami started feeling guilty in his heart that I'm attached to Radha Raman's service, but he started feeling in his humility that he was neglecting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service. And just to pacify Gopal Bhatta Goswami's heart, the deity, Radha Raman deity in front of his eyes, show him the form of Gauranga or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thus they establish, the Radha Raman deity establishes the fact that I am non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when you are worshipping Radha Raman, you are actually worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That fact was established to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So talking about Gopal Bhatta Goswami's humility, now when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is about to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he goes, he gets this instruction from Nityanand Prabhu that he should pen down all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he goes to various saints or the various Goswamis in Vrindavan to take their blessings. He says, before I start this monumental work of penning down all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of you all please bless me that I can become an instrument in glorifying the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the Goswamis bestow their profuse blessings on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, including Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami says that I will give you my heartfelt blessings, but only on one condition, that you should not mention my name in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was so humble that he did not want his name to be mentioned anywhere. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, just to keep up that promise of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, has not given much mention about him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami had many disciples throughout his days in Vrindavan. And one of his foremost disciples was Srinivas Acharya. It is said that after all the six Goswamis left Vrindavan, the next set of saints, Vaishnava saints, to carry on the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya were Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and I think Shyamanand Pandit. So Srinivas Acharya was a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And it is said that Gopal Bhatta Goswami is Guna Manjari in his eternal form in Krishna Leela. Although some people say he is also Ananga Manjari, but mostly widely available news information is that Gopal Bhatta Goswami is Guna Manjari in Krishna Leela. So we see that glorification of these devotees is non-different from glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because all these devotees, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami or other Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are actually living examples of Srimad Bhagavatam. As Prabhupada says, there are two types of Bhagavatas. There is the book Bhagavat and there is the personality Bhagavat or the living Bhagavat. And both are non-different from each other, because whatever the book Bhagavat is mentioning, all the qualities that the book Bhagavat is mentioning, all these living Bhagavatas or these Goswamis imbibe all those qualities in full. So no glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually complete without glorifying the devotees of the Lord or glorifying such Goswami, elevated personalities of the Lord like Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So I would like to end here. And are there any questions or comments?
When you mentioned Radharani deities are really wonderful and they are being looked after very well. We have got very nice devotees from South India mainly. I happened to meet few people and they were telling so many nice stories about Gopal Goswami, what you mentioned. Thank you very much.
In fact, while I was reading about Gopal Bhatta Goswami, I heard that once when Gopal Bhatta Goswami was traveling, he was going around preaching and he had to visit a Brahmana's house, but there was a big storm which comes. So one of the other residents of that village gives him shelter during the storm. And that resident, that Brahmana was very aggrieved because he did not have any children. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami blesses him that I bless you that you will have a son very soon and he will be a great devotee of Krishna. And then that Brahmana promises him that the first son which I get, I will dedicate him in your service. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami goes back to Vrindavan and 10 years or something after this incident, once when he is coming back to his Radharaman deity, he sees one little boy, around 10-year-old boy, sitting on the steps of his temple. And he asks him, who are you? And this boy says that, my name is Gopinath and I have come from so and so village. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami remembers that yes, that Vaishnava had promised me that I will give you my son. So Gopinath says that my father has told me that my whole life I have to just serve you. And his name was known as Gopinath Pujari. So he remains a brahmachari all his life and he was the principal pujari of Radharaman deity. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami was wondering who will carry on the worship of Radharaman deity. So Gopinath Pujari's brother, I think his name was Damodar, he also joins in the worship of the Radharaman deities and his children, they are the descendants of Damodar and even till today Gopal Bhatta Goswami has authorized them that all your descendants, he told Damodar, will continue the worship of Radharaman. So it is the descendants of that Damodar who are continuing the worship and are maintaining such a high standard in Radharaman temple.
Very nice priest, very nice duties. And Prasadam is the temple.
Any other questions or comments?
We say that Krishna cannot be realized without devotional service and not simply by austerities. But it seems like that's how Brahma realized Krishna is by austerities. So because he didn't really fight, did he perform devotional service?
In fact, Prabhuji is asking that it is mentioned that Krishna can be realized only through devotional service, but here it looks like that Brahma realized Krishna only through austerities. So how is it so? Is that right, Prabhu?
Yeah.
So actually what you are saying is right. In fact, during a Bhakti Vaibhav course, during the last section, we were studying the pastime of Jada Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, the three lives of Bharat Maharaj. And in that also there is a verse which we studied, which says that one cannot realize the absolute truth by any penances or any yogic processes or any austerities or any study of the scriptures. But one can realize the absolute truth only after one has done Rajobhike Shekam of the devotees of Lord. One has smeared his body with the dust from emanating from the lotus feet of the devotees. So what you are saying is right, Prabhu, that it is only through devotional service or serving the devotees that one can realize the absolute truth or one can realize Krishna. But what we see here Lord Brahma performing is not actually just austerities as in the case of Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga where they do Ashtanga austerities or they do those asanas or they just meditate on the Paramatma feature of the Lord by doing various asanas, Ashtanga Yoga that's called as. So in that section where it is mentioned that Lord Brahma then goes back on the lotus flower and he is meditating, it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions that actually Lord Brahma does tapo divyam. And it's a very good question you have asked because Prabhupada elaborates in that purport that simply doing austerities or tapasya actually makes the heart very hard. And that is why it does not become a fertile field where the seed of bhakti can be sown, because the heart has become so hard by doing so many austerities. We also see sometimes in India, we come across many devotees who say, oh, I'm doing so much fasting, I just drink this, I just do that. And in fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a nice pastime when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do his nightly kirtans in Shriva Sangam. And all the devotees used to assemble. So there was one brahmachari. He was a very, very staunch brahmachari. And he wanted to enter and he wanted to see the kirtans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during nights in Shriva Sangam. And he requests, I think, Srivas Thakur that you allow me to come inside, you allow me to come inside. And Srivas Thakur knows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not allow or does not like any unqualified person to enter the kirtans. Only his devotees who are imbued with pure bhakti can enter those kirtans. So he was very scared to allow this brahmachari to enter. But this brahmachari says that I am a strict brahmachari. I am doing so much austerities. I think he used to just drink cow milk, something like that. Some sort of austerity like that he was doing every day. And he says, you please allow me. And then he, with great fear, he allows him. He says, but you have to hide somewhere. So he allows him to hide somewhere. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and starts his kirtan, he immediately realizes that, you know, there is some disturbance or there is some obstacle coming in my kirtan today. I'm not able to fully taste the nectar which I taste every night. So then he asks Srivas Thakur that, have you allowed some personality in this room who should not be here? And then Srivas Thakur reveals that, you know, I have allowed this brahmachari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve. He said that he might be doing austerities or he might be just drinking cow milk and not taking anything else. But that is not enough to achieve entrance into my kirtans. It is only a heart which is imbued and softened with love which can enter into my kirtan. So in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that Brahma actually does tapodivyam. So he is actually doing transcendental austerity. He is not doing austerities just to achieve some siddhis or something like that. He is doing these austerities with an aim to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the goal of all the Vedas and all, like Vedeshya Sarve Aham Eva Vedyo, that what is the goal of all processes? It is to satisfy Krishna, and by his austerities he was able to satisfy Krishna, and Krishna gives him darshan. Actually, it is mentioned in the following verses that Krishna actually shakes hands with Lord Brahma. So they were in Sakyaras, he actually shakes hands with Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma pleases him with his austerities, and his austerities were tapodivyam. They were not austerities meant for just self-realization or something like that. They were austerities meant to please the Lord. So any austerity, because every yuga has different kinds of processes for achieving the Lord. So in Satya Yuga, meditation was the process as it is. And when the creation is starting, actually it is even before Satya Yuga, but during that age the process was meditation. So he meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead to achieve him.
On the same point, Brahmaji came and Haridas Thakur. Yeah. In Mahaprabhu's.
Yeah. During this Lord Brahma is Haridas Thakur actually.
As you said, Bhagavatam was present in four shlokas, Chatu Shloka, and Srila Vyasadeva expanded. So, does it mean that Bhagavatam is eternally present just in four verses?
Actually, I'm not sure of that, Prabhuji. But I would say so. Eternally present in four verses or present in 18,000 verses, I'm not sure. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is present in different forms. In once Keshav Prabhu was mentioning, it is present in different forms in different planetary systems. So maybe in the higher planetary system. Because it is said that the intelligence of the higher planetary system, the demigods and various sages and all who reside, is quite high as compared to the intelligence of human beings on the earthly planetary system. So in Chatushloki, Lord Brahma could understand the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we are given just four shlokas, we might not understand. And it is only for our benefit that Vyasadeva actually expands these four shlokas into 18,000. So I'm not sure, but this is my guess that, you know, in the other higher planetary systems, it could be in Chatushloki, but here it is in 18,000 verses.
If we understand,
yes, that is also Bhagavatam. That is very true. Because,
is it okay to?
Yes, because Prabhupada used to say that whenever Prabhupada used to, even Krishna book or whatever, Prabhupada used to always make the other devotees read to him, and he used to say that Krishna is personally dictating to me, and then I'm writing. So it is the Lord only speaking through Srila Prabhupada. So his purports are non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam. And even yesterday when we were reading the prayers of the residents of Jambudweep, there was one section wherein comes that the main qualification of a guru is that he should be in parampara system, and the second main thing is that he should not change anything. So any person who is trying to change whatever is in the Bhagavatam or whatever has been spoken by the previous acharyas, then he is not a qualified guru. So because Prabhupada did not change anything, he presented whatever has come down from Krishna as it is. So his words are non-different from the Lord. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam